far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode,
you're listening to our grand E3 coverage by the Anime of Yesteryear 64 podcast theme song!
Fight evil by moonlight, win in love by daylight, never running from a real fight. This is
Anime of Yesteryear
podcast. We will never turn our backs on a friend. We are always there to defend. This is the podcast on which you can depend. This is
Anime of Yesteryear. Oh! Zionic Freak, John Jones, Vimon Josh, and some other people, maybe.
Throw away your other podcast. This is
Anime of Yesteryear.
Talking about TV, giving our thoughts on movies, telling lots of shitty stories.
Anime of Yesteryear. Anime of Yesteryear.
This is the
Anime of Yesteryear
podcast.
Wow. There you go.
Hey, can you hear me?
So yeah, is it just going to be us?
I guess. It looks like Josh is not on. We can get his opinion tomorrow because he watched more of this stuff than I did.
The only thing I've seen is the Sony press conference.
I watched the Microsoft one this morning, and I didn't watch the Sony one yet, but I saw what people were saying in the chat. So I know basically all the games that were in it and everything because JT announced them all.
Yeah, and he announces it all the time, so that's JT.
In all caps, usually. Yep.
Bold, italicized, Times New Roman, 68 font. It works.
Wow. Oh my god, is this Resident
giant
Evil 7?
Crab.
Yeah, giant enemy crab. He was saying that during both conferences.
Now it's giant enemy dot 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 spider?
Yeah. That's a meme that they're never going to live down, apparently.
No. According to Josh on the Fly chat, it says they're only showcasing Pokemon and Zelda. I'll tell you what. My bet, because we're doing this a two-parter thing. Well, I mean, it's the same recording. We're just recording tonight. And then whatever Nintendo does tomorrow. Dude, John, I'm telling you. They better say something about Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go better be like, it's available in the App Store right now. And I'll be like, calling Dory. I'm like, Dory, Pokemon Go, it's real, it's live, get it, we're getting it.
You think it's going to be ready?
Like being in the middle of the woods in South Carolina hunting things that do not exist.
Yeah, I don't even know what that's supposed to be. Like, they announced it, I think, a year ago now, or even more. And it's just like Pokemon, but it's real, except it's on your phone. It's not really real.
Well, it's done by the company who does that Ingress game, which I played a little bit of it a year ago or so. And it's basically like these like invisible portals. You have to be in a certain area, and you have to set up these portals, and then other people can come by and take over them. It's cool, but like I just got tired of it, so I'm like, whatever. No, but Pokemon Go, it's like you're supposed to have like a wristwatch or something too.
And that might just be in the videos.
Like, do what?
That might just be in the game or something. You might not actually need a wristwatch.
I don't know, man. That would be kind of cool because like you need it in order to capture it for your phone, which is like the gimmick or whatever. But Dory's like, if that sucker's like $20 or $30, I don't care. I'm getting it. She's like that much of a Pokemon nerd. I'm like, yeah, honey, all right, I'll get one.
I know that the new one is probably going to be focused on the Sun and Moon games, but they'll probably bring a Pokemon Go too, since there's so little stuff that they're going to be talking about. That they
just say the release date for Pokemon Go, which is like in 2 hours or something, and I will run to GameStop and be like, "All right, they just announced it. Where are your freaking stupid wristwatch things? I'm buying one." Like, everyone I talked to, like, that, like, heard about Pokemon Go, because they had a video for it at that 20th anniversary thing.
And on,
like,
the Super Bowl.
February. Yeah, something like, yeah, I think they did one for the Super Bowl, and, like, people I talked to were, like, super psyched over it.
Mm. Yeah, they put a lot of money into it, so hopefully it can live up to that. But, yeah, they've got Zelda as well as Pokemon tomorrow, and that's going to be focused on the Wii U and NX versions, which it's going to be... you know, it's going to be a dual platform thing like Twilight Princess, where they release it for the new one and the old system, and that's going to be. I think they said it's going to be playable at E3, but yeah, hopefully that lives up to expectations, because they've been developing that one for quite a while and it keeps getting delayed.
All right. Well, ask Josh if he's gonna join in. I don't know. Well, in case of Toon Radio copyright bullcrap, we are now officially, I don't know if how you want to do this for a gaming section. Do you want to call it Dusty 64 or AOY 64? Be a total pun on Mega 64 podcast.
Yeah, I don't think we need to change our name for this Toon Radio shit. They're not getting our name.
I just want to be like, all right, this is Dusty 64 Hour Gaming Corner for Anime of Yesteryear, so it's obviously not about anime this time. It never is this time of the year.
Well, because this time,
movies and E3, because we have to talk about both those things.
Yeah. I guess instead of 64, it's more like the PS1, you know, because they released the Crash Bandicoot remastered thing for the PS1 games.
Okay.
And everybody was like, you know, expecting it was going to be a new game or whatever. And instead, it's just they're going to re-release them remastered. And then Crash is going to be in Skylanders. Which,
and
you know, that's going to probably make them some money. But it's not what the old fans were expecting or whatever. But I was expecting TY to be more pissed in the chat. But he's not, which is disappointing.
I thought everyone was just like, blew his load, and I was thinking, like, it was so much that it was like an ectoplasm that, like, cascaded around his body and, like, engulfed him in a cocoon or something of his own jizz. Well, if that comment won't get us on the mature rating thing on iTunes, I don't know what will.
Maybe Dan was right about us needing a parental advisory recording before our podcast.
Well, I mean, I've seen that episode of South Park where Randy, like, blew his load all over, like, the computer room when, like, the internet was low. And they had those, like, endearment camps with, like, FEMA trailers for people trying to find internet. Oh, that was a great episode. Anyways, well, I didn't see anything from Microsoft or Ubisoft, and apparently on the chat, there was people on Twitter that were mad because they were like, how these people made sports games boringer than the actual sport. So, oh wait, was Aisha Taylor there this year?
I didn't watch the Ubisoft one, but I read the chat when it was going on, and they were saying that, here's Aisha Taylor, they brought back Girlwood, and then they're saying there's dancing furries, and then I remember them mentioning Star Trek and South Park. I don't know what else was mentioned. Those were the only two standouts from what I recall.
I mean, I checked IGN. I had to get the IGN app on my phone because the E3 official app is a piece of garbage. Because you figured they would do streaming or, like, news. But no, IGN's there for you on that. But anyways, like, from what I saw, like, online, it was like the... I'm thinking... yeah, it was like there was like gameplay of Battlefield 1. I literally saw 2 minutes of it, and I was like, all right, well, I'm going to suck at this game. So I'm not in a rush to get it, even though, like, I like the idea of a World War One shooter game. That sounds pretty cool. And there was some stuff about how the new Star Trek game is basically, like, you running the bridge with people, and you have to coordinate. So it seems pretty cooperative, but you're going to get those people that are like, I'm a hidden Klingon agent. I'm here to destroy the Star Trek Galactic Fleet or whatever, and then nobody will play with that guy.
Yeah, I didn't see the trailer for the Star Trek one, but it seemed like they were saying it looked good. And then the South Park thing, they were saying it showed gameplay and that it was coming out in December.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. Yeah, I literally, like, don't know anything else about what happened to Microsoft.
Was Ubisoft.
Go on some detail with that.
But with Microsoft, it was like they had, at the very start, they announced the new version of the Xbox One, which is called the Xbox One S, and it's supposed to have better graphics and a bunch of...
Supposed to, quote.
Right. Quote. They're saying, like, it's going to have 4K, and then there were a bunch of statistics that I didn't understand. It was like, you know, it's the BitWars and Blast processing and all that shit again, where it's just like... They just throw out a bunch of numbers, and they think it's going to impress people into spending $800 on a new system or whatever.
It's like the Atari Jaguar commercials, where it's like, do the math.
Yeah.
Those whole things.
Except, like, in this case, they did that, and then they did, you know, then they did the show with all the games, and then at the end, on the other side of the conference, they do another one, and it's like, okay, is this about the thing at the start again? Like, they're bringing it up at the start and the end just to reinforce it in people's minds. And then it's, like, at the end they say, this is Project Scorpion, or something like that. And I was like, okay, is this just the long form of Xbox One S? Is that what the S stands for or something? But then I was told, no, this is something different. And I could not tell what the difference was supposed to be between them, because it was like... They both have 4K, and it was just like one has more mega flaps than the other or something. And it's like,
flaps? Did they really say mega flaps?
Yeah, something like that. Mega flops, mega flaps, or I'll look in the chat what it was called, but it was like something ridiculous.
What the F is that? What's a mega flap? Like, what is that? Like, I've never even heard that term before.
Yeah,
sounds pretty BS to me.
I'll look it up, but it was something I hadn't heard either, and they were like, they were touting this as being something that was some great advancement for, you know, for the Xbox, like everybody's gonna have to buy it, and then they're gonna have to buy the other one a year later, and it was just really ridiculous. And I mean, why would they announce two consoles at one thing? Like, and then they said, everything that we release for the new, you know, the new thing, it's going to be compatible with the old Xbox One. So why would anybody buy the new one when they make a point of pointing out that there's not going to be anything exclusive about it? I mean, if people really want the top graphics or whatever, I guess it's going to improve slightly each time, but... There comes a point where you're spending hundreds of dollars to get some new machine each year is just going to be, like, prohibitively expensive, and it's not going to make them money. Because, like, how many people are really going to buy a new Xbox every year? Like, it's ridiculous enough that people do that with phones, which is what they're trying to do, is, like, make the console market like what they do with the phone market. But... Instead, it's going to be, like, you know, more expensive, and you don't get an installment plan or whatever like you do on phones these days where they spread it out over your bill. Like this, you just have to pay down on the whole thing is the down payment on the system, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So less people are going to be able to afford it, and it's less time to save up for one compared with the old way they did things, you know. Like... in the old days, it would be 5 years between systems. But
usually
this,
about that, yeah.
Yeah, but in this case, it's going to be like every year, and it's going to be some marginal improvement with some statistic no one's ever heard of before, like mega flaps or whatever it was, and it's like, who's going to buy something that's expensive?
That sounds like the title of a new Power Rangers season. Power Rangers Mega Flaps.
The sequel to Mega Force, yeah.
Or the movie Mega Force back in the 80s. Well, no, John, those systems, Xbox is going to make $1 billion off the rich 1% that spends all their money on Xbox systems. That is their detailed plan, because no mere mortal has that amount of money to make a tough decision on which freaking version of Xbox you're going to get, because they all play the same game. So,
yeah, I bet that's true, that there are enough, like, preppy kids that have parents that are willing to buy this shit for them every Christmas or whatever, and they're so that they can play Call of Duty with the highest quality graphics, and you know, maybe this will be profitable. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't want to meet those kids because they can eat shit and die. I mean, excuse me. I mean, I just don't want to associate with them.
Pardon okay, teraflops.
Your mic went out.
I know. Okay, the term is teraflops.
Teraflops.
Yeah.
That sounds like the Teen Titans character. Like, that's the term like that girl from Teen Titans is used to describe whenever she, like, falls down to the ground. Or she tries to do something on her own and she fails at it miserably.
She falls off a rock or something while she's fighting someone who's a teraflop.
Yeah, and then they're like, ha ha, man, teraflop that fat. Full
Yeah, so that was for the Scorpio. Which is, I guess, like the thing that's going to be after 1S. And then the other thing was they were saying it's going to be 60 hertz and 4K power and all this stuff. And people were saying, oh, wow, they've already surpassed Sony. Even though I don't think Sony, like, they didn't announce what is going to be in the next version of the PS4, did they, in tonight's?
No, they talked solely about games and VR and stuff that worked.
Yeah, so there was like, they were just bashing Sony off of rumors of what the next PS4 is going to be like. And it could be that the machine gets enhanced because of this announcement and they want to be more competitive with Microsoft. And so maybe it'll turn out to have better specs than people have been speculating, because, you know, a lot of these initial leaks turn out to not be accurate.
Most of the time, yeah.
But I do like that... No, mic went out again. I do like that it sounds like Sony focused more on games than Microsoft did. And Microsoft did have a lot of games. So after they did the announcement of the new system, they started talking about... I think it was Gears of War, and they're making a fourth one, and so they did like a cutscene and then some gameplay, and then they talked about the new downloadable content for Killer Instinct, and then they did some Forza, and they were talking about how it's all more friendly or something. They were saying the new updates where you can play races with your friends instantly or something, and yeah. They were showing it, like them driving around Australia, and you know, those games do look like they have pretty good graphics, but I'm not just a big racing game fan or anything, so it's not enough to make me spend enough to buy a PS4 or anything. And
yeah, I mean I love racing games. I like racing anything mostly. But, I mean, like, the only Forza game I ever played and owned was Forza 1. And that's when I got, like, my Xbox. And that was... No, I got some... I think it was Forza 2 or Forza 3 that came with when I got a 360. And that was really the last time I played a Forza game. And, like I just don't have it in me to buy one. And the only games I've really stuck to was, like, Gran Turismo whenever I feel like playing those. But I don't really much anymore. So... I I don't know, man. It's good for those people that like racing games and stuff, but like I just don't have it in me right now.
Yeah, and they put them out pretty often, from what I can tell. There's one every 2 or 3 years, or maybe even more often than that.
Now that I own Initial D on arcade, I don't really have a need to play any other racing game, because it's just like I can live with Initial D. That's all I really wanted ever out of life, and now I have that. So
wow.
I mean, that's one of the things I want out of life.
Fulfilled your life stream with that arcade machine, huh?
Yeah, dude, you don't know until you try it.
You get those parts. You were saying that you needed to, like, try to get some at a shop, right?
There's some, I mean, like, in terms of, for it being a project and fixing a few things up, there's, like, some parts I'm still looking for, so. But it's just one of the things I'm keeping my eye out on, like, eBay, so we'll just see.
So then after Forza, I think it was, I don't know. It wasn't really that memorable what they did. I think they did Final Fantasy after that. Final Fantasy 15, was that at the Sony event as well?
Yeah, they had it for Sony, but like for Sony's thing, it was promoting it for their VR system. And so like with VR in Final Fantasy 15, you're basically in the game fighting the monsters, just like Sword Art Online. But I didn't see any waifus, so I think we're good there, but like it's only the next step to go to waifus. Or aka the next step into making all the SAO fans demanding that there should be a VR version for like an online SAO game. And some company out of Korea is gonna make it. And it'll look like crap, but
yeah, I'm sure that will happen eventually.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still pretty cool to immerse yourself in the world of Final Fantasy with VR.
Yeah, they did Minecraft actually before Final Fantasy, but
did they?
Okay. I don't know what to say about that. I've never played Minecraft, but I think they were just, you know, showing off the new downloadable content or something. I'm not really sure what it was about, but maybe that was after Final Fantasy, but it was like. It was in there, and then in the Final Fantasy one, it was like there was some huge giant, and he was punching the characters, and they kept phasing through his hand, and that was...
Wait, was that the Microsoft one, or was that the Sony one you're talking about?
That was the Microsoft part where they showed Final Fantasy, but was it the same fight in the Sony one, or was it a different battle?
The Sony one, I just remember, like, people with guns shooting the monster, and, like, being immersed in the world, and... Some chick driving a car. I didn't get what was up with that. I don't know. Like, it's like one of the characters that they had in Final Fantasy 15, and like at least on the Sony side, it was like some emo looking dude. And I'm like, I don't know.
They mentioned in the chat when that was going on, I think Josh referred to that character as Sasuke because he had like that black hair that was like parted on one side.
Yeah, it did kind of look like him.
Yeah. And he was, like, the main one in the Microsoft demo, because he was just, like, phasing through this giant's hand over and over, and then he would, like, cut it, and it didn't really, like, I don't know, it didn't impress me that much, but it didn't look terrible either. It's just I have to see more to judge it.
I guess it's been, like, a number of years since Gears of War 3 came out, because... I guess I think that came out like in 2000. Man, I want to say like 2010. I think that's when the last one came out. Because I've got the first three, and I know they made one for like, Yeah, I'm pretty sure they made. I mean, they made another one like for the 360. It was for the 360, but I never got it, and I never tried it, but I just heard that one was, like, mediocre or something. Or it was Judgment, I think.
And then there was also something that they mentioned where it was you can build your own controller for the Xbox One, and it costs $80, though, which they did not mention in the video that they made promoting it. They were just showing a whole bunch of different colors of the controller, and it was like, okay, why do you need to spend the $80 to make the controller look a different color? Like, can't you just buy like a skin and put it around it or something like in that color. Isn't that something that's been like an aftermarket product that third parties have been making for years for video game controllers?
Like Mad Catz and those GameStop controllers, like the ones I've got. I think those are made by Mad Catz, but they just have the GameStop logo on it. I mean, shoot, I've got one in my hand right now that I use to play games on my Steam. Like, I've got a wired 360 controller with a GameStop logo on it, and I literally use it to play Steam games. So, and that works perfectly fine for me. Like,
let me read Jay Turner's commentary on this.
Oh boy.
Okay, let me search Gray, because he had some comment that he thought was really clever about the color of the controllers. He says, oh no, maybe it was about the color of the consoles. So we have a white console versus a black console. At least PS4 has colors. Mine is gray. So he buys consoles based on what color they are, apparently. And Daft's reply was, I vote for the whites, of course. Yeah, and then, let's see, what else they had? There was, something called Scalebound, and this was where JT first brought up the giant enemy crab, and, it was, like, there were a bunch of dragons flying around, and then there's a guy with a sword, and they're all attacking some enemy, and it did look vaguely like a crab, although I think it was supposed to be another dragon, but I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
And then there was the pirate game, which was like the new game by Rare, and it was a bunch of pirate ships shooting at each other, and for this one they had a unique kind of trailer where it was it was like a slow motion, a bunch of pirates fighting on a ship, and then they said, and now here are some clips of people playing the game, because they had been doing like testing for it before the trailer was released or whatever, and they had a bunch of people who had been actually like playing the game against each other, either online or in the same room, I don't know, but they were they were all like having reactions when their ship got sunk, and they were like celebrating when they won, or they were saying, oh no, we lost. And so it was like you get a sense of people are actually enjoying this game and they're getting really invested in it. And I thought that was a unique way to do a trailer, to just actually show some people playing it instead of just a bunch of pre-rendered cutscenes that don't actually tell you what the game's going to be like or whether it's actually an enjoyable experience to play it. So I thought that was a unique way to do a trailer. And after that, there was a Tekken game, and it was like a cutscene, I think, mostly in Japanese. And then there was some gameplay, I think, but it's hard to tell with some of these things whether it's actually going to turn out that way or not. But they were talking about how it's going to have a story mode, and they were like touting that as a feature because I guess the new Street Fighter game did not have a story mode, so. And I heard this about the new Titanfall as well. They were boasting about how it has a story mode, even though that used to be like the default in all games, that there would be a story mode.
Yeah, like, I mean, the reason why I stay away from Titanfall was the fact that's like, it sounds like a strict multiplayer game, which means I'm never going to get the stupid robot. I'm not going to control the robot the entire time. And that's bullcrap.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no, I have not touched Titanfall since it came out. And, I mean, maybe one day I'll get it. I don't know, but.
Yeah, and then there was, I guess there was a brief mention of EA Sports. And there was some weird game where it was like a bunch of mimes doing drugs. I don't know what that was about.
What?
Yeah, it was really strange. Let me see what it was called here in the chat. I think it was The Happy Few or something like that. They were like all doing drugs, and then they started beating a pinata, and then one of the mimes, like, came out of his drug trip, and he was like, oh no, it's actually a chihuahua, and then he starts running away, and all the other mimes are after him, and he has to fight them or something. It looked really stupid, but JT was excited about that one.
Oh, that poor boy. I don't know what help we can give him.
He said, Bioshock on drugs. I'm told this is from the people who did Contrast, which was good. Hit It, which is when they were hitting the pinata. Then he said, Oh My, which is when they revealed the pinata was a chihuahua. Then he says, Nice. And then there was a some card game. I think it was called Quint. I don't know if this is like a digital card game or if they're actually printing cards of it, but it was like a spinoff from the Witcher games.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, that got its own little explanation there. And then there was State of Decay, I think, was the next one. State of Decay 2. Which, I think that was another zombie game. I have not played the first one, so I don't really know.
Neither have I, so I wouldn't know anything about State of Decay.
It looked pretty generic. There was also another zombie game as well. I think it was Dead Alive 4 or something like that.
Dead? Well, there's Dead or Alive, the fighting game with the girls in it.
That's not right, then.
That would not be right, because they're on... Last time they made one was Dead or Alive 5.
Dead Rising, that's what it was.
Oh, another Dead Rising, so that'd probably be like Dead Rising 4 or something. Unless they're like, oh, it's been 10 years, let's revamp the old one.
Yeah, it's Dead Rising 4, and it was like... that one looked a little better than State of Decay, and it looked like it was trying to be more... lighthearted, and Josh said that the third one was more serious, but the earlier ones were more tongue-in-cheek or something.
I remember, like, we watched the Dead Rising 3 trailer at E3. It must have been a few years ago. I remember seeing that, because it was some biker dude, like, running past a bunch of zombies on a highway or something. That's all I remember. And that's all I've ever seen of it. I've never... Like, I bought and owned the first one. When I got a 360, and I've only played like a little bit of it, but then I just got bored with it because it's just not that good of a game. It doesn't hold up.
Yeah, I remember the third one. I think they introduced some downloadable content later that JT was really obsessed with, and he kept watching the video to promote it. It was like some really off the wall DLC or something, where it was like you could put skins on the zombies or something to make them look like other video game characters or something. And then after this was Halo Wars 2, which it seems to be some sort of spin-off of Halo.
Well, no, Halo Wars was a real-time strategy or RTS game that was on Xbox back in like 07, I think, because I played the demo to it, and that's all I've ever played of Halo Wars. But like, it's one of those games that after like maybe 6 months, it dropped incredibly in value, and it was like $5 or $10 at GameStop in like less than 6 months later. And I'm like, yeah, nobody wants Halo Wars unless you like playing RTS games on your 360 system. So, which is not many people, because RTS players usually play on PC, like with Command and Conqueror and other stuff. So
I think I covered all the games here. There was also some stuff where it was them talking about, let me find it in the log. There were some other things that they're promoting as well, but it was not really all that interesting overall. I thought it was like a mediocre conference, but it could have been worse, I guess. You know, there have been worse years for Microsoft, like when they announced the Xbox One, that was just a total fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was, you know, they introduced all these features like the, you know, the online only that everybody was angry about, and how you couldn't play it if your internet was out and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
This year it was like they were mainly focusing on, okay, here's the other thing, on that you could play Xbox One games also on your PC. And so they were saying that all the new games for Xbox One are going to be play and go or something like that. I don't know what the term they used exactly was, or play anywhere. And it was, they were saying you can pick it up at on your computer at work or something if you started it on your console at home or something. And they were like encouraging people to play video games instead of working or something like that.
That would have to be like not every single game, because like the Xbox 360 is probably, I mean, most computers out there that people have are standalone. Like, I don't think they compare to like a console like the Xbox, you know, Xbox One, unless you have an actual gaming PC. And
well, it's for Windows 10. They said you have to have Windows 10 to do it. But
well, you need an optimal computer in order to run stuff like that. So
yeah, I don't know how it's going to work either. The whole thing is confusing to me because they were focusing on how the new games are going to have, you know, the 4K graphics and stuff. But then they were also saying that it's going to work on, all the new games are going to continue to work on the first Xbox One, which I think does not have 4K. So
no, it doesn't.
Yeah, so they're going to, like, I guess they're going to have it where all the new games have like adjustable graphic quality or something, where it'll be capable of downgrading the resolution to whatever the thing that's playing it is.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's gonna work out in practice, if it's gonna end up being where everything is like really pixelated and it's like not built for that kind of graphical quality, and people are going to be playing these downscaled games and they're going to be complaining about it or what. But you know, this is what they're trying to do, is try to get people who don't want to buy the new stuff to still have access to the games. So I don't know if this is going to work or not. I mean, if they make all the games that are available for the new systems available for people with lesser hardware as well, it doesn't really give you as much of an incentive to buy the new console, because usually the reason to buy a new version of something is if there's going to be something exclusive for it. But there's nothing really exclusive for these new Xbox systems other than you can play it with higher specs. And if people really care about that, then go ahead and buy the new Xbox. But, you know, you have to be really hardcore videophile to really find these things exciting and spend enough to buy the new Xbox.
I thought you were going to say stupid or something, but, I mean, videophile works too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's another way of putting it. If you think it's worth spending that much money to see the zombies in 4K instead of 1080, then, you know, go ahead and spend hundreds of dollars, whatever. So that was really all that happened at the Sony one. And then there was Ubisoft.
You're talking about the Microsoft one, right?
Yeah. Then there was Ubisoft, which I didn't watch, but from what I can tell, it only had a couple of things that were really interesting, which was Star Trek and South Park. And then there was the EA one the day before, which I also did not watch that, or the Bethesda one. I also didn't watch that.
Yeah, EA, as far as I can tell, was probably just promotion stuff for Battlefield 1.
JT said they played the Battlefield 1 video twice during the EA thing and once during the Microsoft thing. And did they play it again during Sony as well?
No, I never saw anything for Sony.
Okay, so they played it three times then. But still, that's pretty ridiculous to play that thing over and over.
I mean, I don't know anything about EA unless you want to go ahead and move on to, you know, the show that really counts at E3.
Right. Yeah, let's just move on, because at EA, I don't think they announced anything all that interesting. It was just like season passes for sports games and like the usual stuff that they put out. So
So Sony, I mean, holy crap, they did pretty good. They again won this year. It wasn't as exciting because I didn't see any footage for like Shenmue 3, which, I mean, like, I'm still keep up with the updates for the Kickstarter that they have out there, so like I know like whatever they want to tell us, and usually it's always like they're still working on it, and it seems like I think they're going to push that 2017 date back probably further. I don't see them getting done with that in the next year and a half. But it's a possibility. But anyways,
if it comes out another year later, I mean, we already had to wait quite a few years since Shenmue 2 came out, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, think about the people that have been waiting for Last Guardian for, like, 10-plus years. And now they actually put down a release date for Last Guardian in October, and people went crazy over that.
That was on today's Sony event, huh? And people were excited about it.
Yeah. Shoot, I don't even know where... Well, okay, so they had Hideo Kojima come back, and they announced a new game that he's doing, which is, there's already memes online according to these images. It's not Suck My Dick, You Pachinko Machine Effers. Dead Stranding. So that's like, it looks sort of horror-ish, and it's got like, I have no idea, but that was the promotion video for it, so... Because it was like he showed up and I was like, my predictions are still a Police Knots or Snatcher spiritual successor or sequel. But none of that happened again. Or even Zone of the Enders, which I think those are still owned by Konami. And Konami, well, we're just going to wait till they die off until we get something like that. So maybe Kojima's going to get the rights to those games and then or put them out there. So
can you explain for some backstory for the listeners, like, why it is that Konami decided to screw Kojima so much and move on to Pachinko? Like, I've seen nothing but hatred towards Konami over their recent choices.
It's been, like, the past year. It's basically whenever Kojima got fired from Konami officially or whatever. I'm not even really too sure. I can't even really remember. I just know, like, there was stuff that happened between the two. And they just let him go. But, like, you know, I was like, Kojima's going to come back. He's got his own company. He's not going to stop making games. There's no way. And his name was in the credits for Metal Gear Solid 5. Which, speaking of, I actually beat Metal Gear Solid 5 yesterday. So, finally, after, like, 9 months after it came out. Because I've been busy with school. So, anyways. So
is it basically that they had some creative differences with him over Metal Gear Solid 5 and they just decided to remove him from the company and over that? And
I mean, Metal Gear Solid 5 was still a really good game. Like, it was open world and I think they did the best they could with it. Like, it's not... I actually really like that game. I don't feel really strong with it like I did with the other ones. But maybe I just gotta let sell or something. But then again, the other ones, like, I would binge through and have really good, like, experiences with those games. Whereas this one, like, I didn't play it for, like, 6 months. And then I'm like, yeah, I need to get back into this and finish it up. So, like, there's this break of, like, okay, what's happening? Oh, what did I forget that I played a long time ago? But no,
I saw that people thought when they were reading it that it was going to be Silent Hills or PT, but it turned out not to be. Like, what is it called instead?
It's Dead Stranding.
Okay. And by the way, I looked through the log some more, and there was one thing that I missed for the Microsoft thing, which was called ReCore. And JT said it was by the Metroid Prime people, and it looked like it was okay, I guess. It was like, I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be a platformer or what exactly, but it had, like, only a little bit. It was pretty short trailers, so it didn't really stick out that much. But I did like the Metroid Prime games when they first came out, so that could be interesting.
I did want to say that, like, on the Death Stranding game, the guy, like, I thought it was a Walking Dead game because the guy that they have in there looks a whole lot like Daryl from Walking Dead. The redneck biker dude. Like, I saw it, I was like, Kojima's making a Walking Dead game? What's going on? And then I see it was like, there was a baby, and then some handprints, and then, like, a bunch of, like, walrus teeth and corpses. And that's it. Like, I was like, I don't know how to, everyone went crazy because it was like, oh my god, Hideo Kojima! And I'm like, yeah, he's making a game, but I just kinda wish what it's supposed to be. But I guess we don't know that yet until later. But, gosh. Alright, so Last Guardian got a release date. Oh, they instantly started out the whole conference thing with like a God of War. I guess it's a sequel, but they just took the original name of God of War. And I'm like, is this like God of War Origins, Beginnings? Cause it was this kid that shot his bearded, Kratos dad in the shoulder when he was supposed to kill this giant troll. And then he finally, like, knew what killing was after killing a moose for food. And then that's it. Like, that's pretty much it. And then it was like God of War, and I'm like, there's no subtitle to it? Like, that doesn't... I have not played a single God of War game.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the franchise either, but that seems to be the trend lately, is they just reuse names because they figure people don't want to... I mean, they must have done some market research or something where they figure people don't want to buy something if there's a number after it because they feel like they have to have bought previous things in that line. So they just reuse titles all the time, and it just makes it confusing when you're trying to get into a series later on. Like, what came first? You have to like look at the cover art and look at the date on the back of it and for what when it was copyrighted. And like, it's going to be more and more difficult when they keep re-releasing things with the same title, you know?
Yeah, I just know one of the games I just thought of just now that had, like, that does the same thing as God of War did, like, in terms of just using the title again, was that really POS game Turok for the Xbox 360. Like, yeah, we have the Turok games for the N64, and, well, those were good at their time. Like, I can't play a lot of Turok, those original Turok games, because I just get sick and I get bored of just going around in circles. But like they made one for the 360, and like there's guns in the game, but they do absolutely nothing. Your best weapon is a knife. You basically can run up to dinosaurs. All I did was run up to dinosaurs and just knife them because it was a more effective weapon than my freaking like machine gun or pistol. Like, it was stupid. And I remember they showed the demo to it like a year prior before it came out. I was like, oh man, that game looks awesome. And I play it. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you can't even do anything in this game. Every weapon is useless except the stupid knife. So I'd run around with a knife and kill everything. Cause that was the best weapon.
I mean, the whole concept is pretty ridiculous of a guy hunting dinosaurs. Like a dinosaur would kill him pretty easily. Well,
see, they had Turok comics, but I'm not sure if the comics were related to the game or not, or if they came out before the game. I thought they came out before the game.
I think they did come out first, yeah.
Yeah, so it's based off a comic book series that, like, I never even heard of before the original games came out. And I didn't even know about the comics until, like, a couple years later, I think, or a few years later. I was like, wait, there's comics based off this game? Or, like, a game was based off a comic? Like, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I think the game is more popular than the comic.
Well, yeah, because, like, if the comic's indie, or I think it might have been put... It was put out by Dark Horse, I believe.
Yeah, Dark Horse.
Yeah, and the 90s comic scene was, like, Dark Horse ruled everything, and possibly Marvel, or Marvel did.
Well, Marvel went bankrupt in the 90s, actually.
Oh.
So they were having a hard time, because, you know, they like, over-invested in the whole bubble thing, and, like, printing too many editions of each comic. And
yeah, well, that's probably explains why DC was more popular than we saw more Batman movies, and those turned out kind of bad because we saw more of that.
Like, yeah, Marvel had a hard time getting any movies out until X-Men, and then after X-Men and Spider-Man those started, it was like ever since then they've had a string of successes.
Yeah,
and especially with Iron Man onward. But and then DC, you know, which was previously more successful than Marvel because they got out the 4 Superman movies and the 4 Batman movies.
Yeah.
Since then, they've been, you know, pretty much in a bad shape with their movies, with the exception of the, you know, the Dark Knight trilogy, which did pretty well. But other than that, they haven't really done that well with their movies in recent years.
Just get Zack Snyder out of there and... I think you guys have it covered, but we'll see if they learn that lesson.
Oh, speaking of Spider-Man, didn't they have a Spider-Man game by Insomniac that was announced here?
Yeah, I was going to eventually bring that up, but like Insomniac, Originally did those PS1 Spider-Man games, which I've always heard was like the best ones, and I used to play them too. Like, they were actually really fun to play. So like, it's really good that they're back making those games. You know what? Let me double check on that. I am more than positive Insomniac made those PS1 Spider-Man games that like have always been highly regarded as like the best ones. So, hang on.
The ones that I have are like, I think it's Maximum Carnage for Super Nintendo, for Spider-Man, and I don't really have any of the more recent ones. I've like played them at friends' houses and rented them and stuff, like the ones for GameCube, but I don't really have very many of the recent Spider-Man games.
The one that came out on the PS1, that is, it was developed by Neversoft.
Okay.
Yeah, Neversoft made like the Tony Hawk games. They made a lot of good stuff, but they went out of business 2 years ago.
What was the PS1 Spider-Man called? Is it just called Spider-Man?
It's just Spider-Man. But like, you would like basically be on the rooftops most of the time, and you can swing. But it was like just how you swung was really cool. So I thought they did really good with that.
I remember playing the Spider-Man games that were based on the movie, and it seemed like it was one of the. I think they had it at GameStop as like a demo or something.
Yeah,
it seemed like it was one of the first games that seemed really open world to me, where it was like you could swing around New York City and just do random things, and I just thought that was kind of cool because it was such a big setting.
I know Spider-Man 2 game was more open world, I believe.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah, that was the one that has gotten a lot of praise since the PS1 one, because it was like very open world.
Yeah, I mean, probably compared to the video games that come out now, it's not that open world, but like at the time, that was impressive to me when I was 10 years old or whatever.
And you're putting that all on like the hardware that you know, a PS2 can run, and that's or an Xbox, and that's pretty impressive.
Right. Yeah. I don't know who developed those games, but it wasn't Insomniac, was it?
I don't know. Let me check. Hold on, let me check. Spider-Man 2 PS2. Shoot. Alright, fine, Google. You're just gonna... Alright, Spider-Man 2 PS. Treyarch was the one that developed the Spider-Man 2 game.
Oh, huh.
Yeah, they're the ones that, let's see. They're the ones that did Call of Duty 2, Big Red 1, Call of Duty 3, Call of Duty World at War, Call of Duty Black Ops, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, and Black Ops 3. So, they're the ones that made the Call of Duty games recently.
Interesting.
Yeah, their last one was Black Ops 3. Which means that... Well, no, they also showed a Call of Duty trailer, like Call of Duty in Space or something, and then they were like, we're going to revamp Modern Warfare. And like, no, like when they had the demo for Call of Duty in Space, I just want to call it Call of Duty in Space! And just have that echo going on. But, no, like it just reminded me of like, okay, this is like, because they promoted it as one of the VR games coming out. And to me, I'm like, wait a sec. We can just, like, I'm pretty sure Bandai has got to be working on Gundam VR games for the PS4, because if that, I know it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Because when those come out, I think that's going to be the breaking point of what's going to sell me on getting a PS4.
I saw that JT, like, couldn't believe that it was Call of Duty because there was a beheading in it, and he was like, this can't be Call of Duty, there's a beheading. I don't know if that's something.
Yeah,
different.
But I was like, dude, it's going to be Call of Duty, and then it was, and I was like, ha! Called it.
And they had said, like, in advance that it was going to be, like, Call of Duty Infinite Wars or something like that. Isn't that what it's called? And it was going to be in space and set in the future. Because I guess they're trying to do something different.
I don't know.
I'm on the Insomniac Wikipedia page to see if they've already added the Spider-Man game, but it looks like they have not added that on there yet.
Okay. It'll, and in due time, it's going to pull up. Just wait.
Yeah, and there's nothing really about them making any Spider-Man games in the 90s. Like, they made the Spyro games back then, and that was mainly what they were doing back then.
Yeah. I've never been big into the Spyro games, and to be honest, like, with Crash Bandicoot, since Sony brought that up, like, I've never been a big Crash fan. I never even beat the... I don't even know if I beat the first level of the original Crash game.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's not that hard. I just, like, was like, this is... Like, why do people like this game so much? I don't get it. I found Metal Gear Solid, and I was like, alright, this is a good game.
I remember having a hard time playing it as a kid, because it's like, there's some big problems with the way it runs, and I hope they change that for the remastered version. Like, on the first game, you can't save after each level, so it's like you have to find some box that'll teleport you to a bonus level, and then you have to do the bonus level perfectly and not fall off and die on it at any point, and then that will let you save. And so, like, when I was playing the first one again a few months back, it was like the only way I could actually beat the game was just by using passwords to get to the level that I got to, because all the passwords are online. Because I would, like, get to a level, and then I would die, and it would take me, like, 4 or 5 levels back, because I couldn't beat the bonus stage. And it was like, okay, this is ridiculous. Who designs a game like that? So I hope that they do make some changes to this, because, like, a lot of these games that they try to re-release or whatever, you know, they've made a lot of advances in how to make a game actually, like, accessible to people, where they don't just want to throw it down and quit because it's so unfairly designed in a way like that.
But they're talking about, like, remastering the original games. I'm like, are you going to take out the parts that suck, or are you just going to leave all that in there?
Yeah.
Like, and then people are going to sit there and complain about it, like the people that are going back and playing the original Pokemon games and be like, holy crap, these original games are garbage.
Yeah, because they tried to change, like, a little bit in the yellow one where they censored Jinx because they didn't want to get called racist. But other than that, they, like, didn't change anything. And yeah, there are, like, problems with it. It's all glitchy and stuff. And so, you know, I don't know if this is the route they're going to go, because those weren't really remastered. They were just kind of re-released with no changes.
Yeah.
And this is, like, I think they're going to try to make it HD or something. So maybe they'll just re-render the levels, or maybe they'll actually make some significant gameplay changes. Like, with the Zelda re-releases for the 90s games, like Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, they actually did...
Yeah.
Redesign stuff where they would, like, move the fairies to different locations and, like, redesign some of the dungeons to make it, like, a different game from the original. But I don't know if they would go through all that effort for Crash Bandicoot, or if it's going to be, like, a kind of a rushed thing because it's not as big as Zelda. But I guess it's big enough that they still felt the need to put it in Skylanders. I don't know if that'll actually sell, like, Crash figure after there's been no Crash games for 6 years or whatever, but...
Yeah, the last one was, like, Nitro Boost something for, like, PS2, because I had to look it up, and they're like, yeah, that's the game that killed the franchise, and I'm like, yikes. Because they killed... No, I mean, they killed that, like, right when the PS3 was, like, getting pretty big. I didn't even know they made one... back in 2010. I thought they stopped making them, like, in the early 2000s. Like, that's how aware I was of the Crash series.
Yeah, well, what happened with it was that Naughty Dog dated the first 3 games, and then they sold it, I guess, or something happened where it switched developers. And so they had, like, the 4th one and the 5th one were both made by different studios. And then the 6th and 7th were made by another different studio. And with 6 and 7, they redesigned the character, and he looked really, like, hideous. And I think those were released on multiple generations, because it was at the point where the PS2 was still a thing, but at the same time, there was also the PS3 and the 360, so they they released it for both generations. And with this new one, it's, you know, it's, I think that they're going to do is to re-release the first what, three, which were by Naughty Dog. I didn't watch the video, but did they say if it was just the first one or if they're going to do all the Naughty Dog games?
I think it's all the Naughty Dogs because they said the three. They said the first three, and it seems like they're the first one's coming out pretty soon, so it's like one at a time.
All right, so yeah, maybe it's an issue with the rights with how all these different companies made it, and they could only get the Naughty Dog ones, or maybe those are just the ones people are nostalgic for because it's PS1, and the others were PS2 and onwards, so I don't know. But I was surprised TY was not more pissed off about that, because I thought he and CG actually seemed to believe that they were going to do a new game by the original developers, even though they've moved on to different series. But yeah, that's not going to happen. It's kind of a dead franchise, and that they're even doing this is kind of surprising.
Yeah, it's like, well, they're nice enough to bring it back. I mean, don't be too harsh on them.
And I guess if it sells well enough, maybe they'll do a new game, but I kind of doubt it. So what about the VR stuff? What do you think of, like, the VR Batman and Star Wars?
Well, Batman, they didn't show anything. Star Wars, I was impressed with. I was like, well, I think it's like they're finally doing, I think it's space missions for Battlefield. Star Wars Battlefront or Battlefield. And because you figured, like, you know, we'll just say Battlefront. Like, you know, they released it, but it was like five missions. And I felt like they put out 90% of the game in the demo that I played, because I was like, well, this is basically it. And I was like, well, they didn't do any space missions. Like, why aren't they doing that? And now it's like with VR, they're doing space missions. It actually looks really good. And I'm kind of like, oh man, maybe I'll be interested in it. I don't know. That's the whole thing with VR. It's like, it's getting close. Like, I'm not a huge Star Wars fan, like, not anymore. But in terms of that being a really fun experience and doing that quite often, I could see myself doing that. But like, for me, if there's like, that's why I'm like relying on, like, okay, Bandai, you got a Bandai Visual or the video game department. Or it's Bandai Namco. Like, okay, you guys need to put out Gundam PS4 games that are VR supportive and you're inside the mobile suit. It's probably going to be like Gundam Battle Operations VR or something ridiculous. And if that's the case, and I can get a PS4 and make a Japanese account and download the game to play VR, you have me sold. Unless they got a VR for like the next version of Initial D coming out for PS4, then I'm like, all right, I'm sold. I'm getting it. Like, end of story right there. It's like those two conditions.
It seems like they're really pushing the VR thing lately, but it is still pretty expensive, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, like, when I played, like, because I was at my friend's studio and they got the HTC, like, I think it's Vive or something. That's like the $800 one. And, like, that sucker was great. And so now I'm kind of, like, wondering with, like, you know, yeah, they're promoting it here. And it's more of the consumer market thing where it's like, you know, yeah, they want people to go out and buy this, but like, from what I played, it was like really good. And I kind of want that same experience since I got spoiled on it. So people were like, automatically think that VR is like going to be this amazing thing when they get it. And I'm like, and I'm probably going to play it and be like, man, this is just garbage. Cause like, that's not the same thing that I was playing at my friend's studio that I really, really wanted to play again. So.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be willing to pay that much for VR, but, you know, maybe at some point the price will go down because
the technology... Well, it's called at some point we need to get jobs and be, like, super-duper dumb rich and then be able to afford it that way.
Yeah, I guess that's the other way of affording VR. But
yeah,
right now it's too early for me to say I'd be willing to buy it or anything because it's just... You know, maybe at some point it'll be cheaper and there'll be more games for it. But like right now, I mean, how many games did they actually list that were going to be for it at this like 3 or 4?
It's a launch title for 50 games, but they only showed like 5 or 6, and that must be like the best ones. And if those are the best ones, then I'm not entirely too sold on like getting a PS4 and a VR thing just yet. Like, it's one of those things where you wait until there's something for it that you really, really want. And then that's where I'm like, okay, this is when I want a PS4. But until then, I'm just kind of biding my time. I was really hoping for a price drop on PlayStation Vitas for like $50, and I can just be like, all right, cool. I got something to play my friend's games on, finally.
Yeah.
But, oh man, I can't really think of anything else.
Is it true that they didn't mention the PlayStation Vita at this conference at all?
No, they never mentioned it at all.
Yeah, I've heard that they're starting to phase that out and they're just not putting any effort into it anymore. So maybe it is going to go down in price soon.
Yeah, alright, let me check on some other stuff. Oh, Resident Evil 7. That was the one that they showed the demo to.
Yeah, and I mentioned that earlier. Is that JT
that
was shocked.
Like, that was like a freaking Silent Hill game. I was like, oh, that's got to be PT or something. And it was Resident Evil, and it was like the seventh one. I was like, that looks... I mean, like, I was like getting creepy. I'm like, okay, that actually looks pretty good. All right. Let's see. I just know that Cloud was posting Lord Dalek's tweets on here.
Yeah.
And how negative he was. I don't know. Let's take a look at the bullcrap he said. Just kind of going up. And still going up. I think I'm getting pretty close. Okay. These are via Lord Dalek at 9:49 p.m. on June 13th. He says, who the fuck cares about VR? Hashtag E3 2016. And then the same minute, seriously, it's all as useless as 3D Blu-ray. No, I don't think so. Oh. No, what was it? Like, oh no, they showed the Call of Duty thing and they had some like big mech suits, and I kind of compared it to the mobile infantry units in Starship Troopers. Not the live-action movie, but actually based out of the books where it's the actual mechs. But.
And then his other tweet here was, crowd, woo, 10 seconds later. Oh, wait, we hate these games. Hashtag Sony E3. And I think that was when they mentioned Crash Bandicoot, and then they... brought up that he was going to be in Skylanders.
Yeah, like, not a lot of people cheered when they mentioned Skylanders. It was like, everyone's just kind of like fake clapping. You got the one or two guys who are like, yeah, woo! And then that's it.
Yeah, because that's something that, like, the adult game journalists and stuff are going to, like, look down on, but I'm sure it must sell well with kids enough to keep it going.
Yeah, I mean, Crash Bandicoot's more of a kid image, and you know, like, the kids are gonna eat up Crash Bandicoot. They may not know entirely who he is, but like, they're gonna play that game and get Crash Bandicoot and be like, it's the coolest thing ever.
And then here's his other tweets. What we learned from Sony E3, the Vita is the biggest bomb that was never a bomb because it has become an unconsole. I guess that's supposed to be a sentence.
I have no idea what he just said.
Yeah, how can it be a bomb that was never a bomb?
It makes sense to me because I'm Lord Dalek and I know the smart things to say on the Twitter. Ooh.
And then, I guess Nintendo wins by default this year, even though it's going to be the depressing conference ever. I think he forgot a word there where he was going to say the most depressing conference ever.
No, Dalek is totally correct in his grammar. Don't you dare question it.
Yeah. I mean, how can he say it's going to be the most depressing one ever, or the depressing ever?
When it hasn't even happened yet.
Yeah, when it hasn't happened yet, and when he says they're going to be the winner, too. Like, how can it be more depressing than the other two, but still be the winner? That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, dude, I freaking don't know. I don't care.
Yeah, it's just kind of ridiculous. But anyway, the Nintendo one is going to be... We're going to talk about it tomorrow, but it's going to be probably not very eventful.
You know, for me, like, Nintendo has never, like, the past few years, like, Nintendo still hasn't gotten me to buy their product yet. Okay, I'll be honest, like, I got a 3DS from a friend last year. It's the Black Zelda one. It's not the XL. It's the original ones. And that's the only current Nintendo product that I have. Dude, I went out and bought a 3DS game today for the first time in, like, 9 or 10 months, I think. No, 7, 6? I don't know. Like, I got it, you know, I got it last year. Then, like, after that, I was like, oh, Project X, and that was a game I really wanted to play. And then I went out and got Dead or Alive Dimensions, I think, back in the fall. That might have been September, October or something. And that's literally the last 3DS game I got. And I could barely kind of play it. But, like, today I went out and bought Project X Zone 2 used. And the only other game I really want is that Sega, that new Sega Arcade Classics thing, because it has Power Drift on it, and that's the only reason I want to buy it. But other than that, like, there's really not a whole lot on the 3DS that I really want to play. I mean, like, in terms of the new Pokemon game, I'll probably go out and get it, since I have, like, a system that's going to play it, so...
Yeah.
I'll just stick with that.
It's going to be for the 3DS, I'm sure, but it's going to be interesting to see if they say anything tomorrow about the NX, which, you know, there's not really all that much info about, but I've heard that it's not going to be brought up, even though it's going to appear before the, you know, before the next E3. It's supposed to come out early next year. So the whole thing is really weird. I don't know why they wouldn't release it for the holiday season this year if they were going to be getting it out, like, only one quarter after that. But maybe they'll just do Nintendo Directs in the months that follow this one, promoting it and explaining it when they have it more fully developed. I don't know.
I mean, that's how they've been promoting their stuff, is through their own Nintendo Direct channels. Like, no other... I don't think any other company does that, but they do it pretty often. Like, what is it, like, bi-monthly? Or every other month, it seems? Like, there's like a Nintendo Direct that lasts maybe, like, 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, they do them probably for a little longer than that each time. But yeah, it is a different model of, you know, providing information to the consumer than E3. And it does help that they do it, you know, more gradually over the year, I think. I think I prefer that to them, you know, announcing everything on one day, because, you know, it keeps people interested over time, instead of just, here's everything we're going to release in just one big info dump, and then, you know, people are kind of overwhelmed and they can't remember all the titles that are mentioned.
Yeah. Well, speaking of companies putting stuff out, like, did you hear about the news from Discotech and the stuff they're putting out?
Yeah, there was, like, some new Go Nagai licenses that they picked up, as well as...
Yeah, it's X-Bomber or Starfleet, which X-Bomber is one of Hideaki Anno's, like, favorite shows, I think. And I'm really wanting to get that on DVD. And the only thing out of that I'm interested in, other than X-Bomber, is going to be the GoGo 13, the Professional, on Blu-ray. So then I can just watch GoGo 13 have sex with women and then kill them brutally in Blu-ray and HD high definition.
They also got Demon Lord Dante, which is another Go Nagai series, and something called True Tears. I think that's something new. I haven't heard of it. I don't really care.
They got a, what was it, the Leo movie or something? Something with a lion and a black blackjack.
Yeah, those are both Tezuka.
Yeah.
So they got a lot of classic stuff, as they tend to do. So, you know, that's Discotech for you. They picked pretty good stuff, and maybe I'll pick some of it up at some point and review it. I don't know.
And anime's been, like, they had the booth there, and I wanted to go by and pick up Giant Gorg, but I never got a chance. But I figured, like, it's on Amazon, so I'll just get it at Amazon prices. And Discotheque, I'm still waiting for their release of Angel Cop on DVD. Because I just really want Angel Cop. And then we have the great collection of manga, or Manga UK's releases. I just really want Angel Cop on DVD so bad.
And it looks like Giant Gork is on Amazon for $30.
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, that's something I'm hoping
to go down in price eventually by the time I want to get it. And I'm probably looking at probably picking it up the end of the summer. And then, we'll have to do a review of it. I really enjoyed Giant Gorg when I saw it. I think it's been about, it's been about 2 years since I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
because Scarlet Hunting Society was putting it out in fan subs. And I got really into it.
Yeah, I need to check that out at some point. It does look pretty good, but I've never gotten around to it. Was Giant Gorg the one where somebody had, the figure of it that they were considering furniture and they wouldn't sell it to you?
No, that's Gundam. Giant Gorg was the statue one of these dealers was selling at Animazement and these other conventions. That's like $500.
Wow.
And I was told that it was sold, and then I go to another convention. I went to South Carolina Comic Con, a couple months ago, and they had another one there. I don't know if it was the same one or they went out and got another one and just to see who else is going to buy it, which might be true too. I mean, the only thing Giant Gorg related is the poster that I got from Animazement a couple years ago, and that's still hanging on my wall. Yeah, I did get that 2 years ago. And hopefully one day, freaking Yasuhiko can autograph it. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But no, I think that's it for E3 for now, and then we'll pick up this recording tomorrow when we see the Nintendo one. Well, I was told it starts at noon. Is it going to be noon Eastern time or noon California time?
I would assume they're giving the Eastern time in the chat, because I think it was Josh that was talking.
Yeah, I should be able to watch it by tomorrow afternoon, so we'll see.
All right, cool. We got an hour 15 here for the first part, and then, I don't know, probably the Nintendo part will be shorter, because there's not going to be much to say about it, really. But, yeah, we'll record that, and maybe this will air on Toon Radio on Thursday, if it's actually back.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I was planning on putting this out, next week as soon as possible, because we're usually pretty timely on that. And then I go through the backlog of okay, E3's out of the way, so what other recordings do I have that I need to get out of the way? So it's just looking through all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so really, we're not going anywhere, but really part two will happen after some cut or some song, or I don't know what I'm going to put here to break that up.
Yeah. Okay, I'll stop recording then.
Countdown control. 4, 3, 2, 1. Virtual reality. Troopers 3. Virtual reality. Troopers 3.